Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we finish our sermon series Called that has been looking at the book of 1 Peter. This week we see we are called to God's glory. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." This is what the Christian lives for, eternal life with God himself. 1 Peter 1:4 tells us that we have an inheritance kept in heaven for us that will never perish, spoil, or fade, but we have to persevere till the very end of our lives here on earth. One of my confirmation students, Kai Peck, has picked Jeremiah 29:11 as her memory verse for confirmation. It goes like this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We usually stop there, but check out the next two verses. They are key. "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Are you praying and seeking God daily with all your heart? He wants the best for you for sure, but you must come to him first. May God bless you this week with his majesty and glory. Thank you for listening.
Be still and know that God is.
God was also in the beginning.
And when all human striving had ceased, God will still be.
From everlasting to everlasting, God is God, and alone is worthy to be worshipped.
Our anthem is by our Good Vibrations Bell Choir playing Jesus Loves Me. Scriptures are read by Judy Berger.
The first lesson comes from Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts. Increase your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 31. But I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your coat as well. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. Here ends the lessons.
Pastor Cobb's sermon is called To Bless and to Be Blessed.
We are in 1 Peter chapter 3, and boy, I've really enjoyed reading through this. I hope you have too. And you know, sometimes when we sign up for things, we don't always know exactly everything we're getting into. And that was kind of the way with me and Boy Scouts. Not really, you know, it sounded like an exciting thing, you know, get badges, accomplish tasks, you know, get rewarded. I'm a kind of an achiever that way. And it kind of seemed to fit me really well with that. So I got invited to go maybe in middle school. I'm trying to remember when I first got to go with that. But the problem with all of it was is that part of being a Boy Scout is that you got to camp. I mean, I didn't really fully understand that concept. And so the first time we went camping, I convinced my dad to let us borrow his tent. He had a canvas tent, and we took it out there, and it was a bad rainstorm. Things didn't turn out well. It was a kind of a chaotic mess. I did not take good care of this tent. I did not take time to fold it up properly because, you know, we were just trying to get warm and dry. And so when it got home to Dad, the tent was wet. It was yucky. It was just all mashed up. I can still see in my mind him stringing that thing out downstairs in the basement, and the smell of wet canvas is still in my memory. And just nevertheless, did not become a Boy Scout. All right, so I just knew that that wasn't for me. And so when we looked this morning, we've looked at when we sign up as a Christian, we're called to do certain things. We saw that we're called to be holy, called to be different. We're called to give God praise for his wonderful things that he's done. He's called us out of darkness into light. Last week, we saw that just because of the name Christian, we will suffer because of that. And we're called to do that. And we're called, you know, to know that when we sign up, we get the whole, you know, we get everything that goes along with it. And this morning, we're going to be in chapter 3. And even going along with the same concept of last week, what do we do when things come our way on purpose to cause us pain? And so when we read these passages here, and we've, you know, done our scripture reading, we've got a hymn at the end about blessing each other, about being blessed, about receiving, you know, eternal blessing from God. And the reason that we do that, or the reason that we receive those things, is how we respond when people treat us poorly. When you start at the beginning of chapter 2 and end with chapter 3, we see there that Peter talks about all kinds of relationships and how we're supposed to interact with him. Chapter 2, it talks about our relationship with the world. You know, how we are to live as Christians in the world. It says, live such good lives among the pagans that even though they don't quite agree with your lifestyle, but they give God glory for what the life that you live. He says, you know, so live a life that brings glory to God and people recognize. And then we also see the relationship last week we read about how we are to respond with our government. You know, good times and bad times. We see there in verse 13, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And then verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. honor the emperor. So he talks about how we're to interact with government in the political realm. He jumps to, you know, how we interact with our bosses, starting right after that, about masters and slaves, you know, bosses, employees. If you have a good boss, it's easy to respond positively to them. But what do you do if you have a bad boss? Well, that then comes down to the passage that we were in last week. If we suffer, you know, for doing right, he says, hey, endure it just like Christ endured suffering for doing right as well. Follow his example. And then we jump into chapter 3 and we talk about the relationship between husbands and wives. And so then we come to verse 8 in chapter 3, and Peter sums it all up. He's given us all these relationships, and he's going to give us 5 characteristics of that we, if we have those in our lives, if we try to pursue these things, it'll help us in all the relationships that we deal with, and it'll also help us when we face evil from people that want to hurt us and do us harm. So let's look there. And in your bulletin, there's a section you can write down passages of scripture or little notes. It's in your bulletin there for the sermon. But verse 8, chapter 3, 1 Peter, he says, finally, he's summing everything up, all of you, he's writing to the church body there. He says, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. He gives us the outline, you know, what are our actions to be as Christians to those around us in the church and in our community? He gives us 5 characteristics there that if we follow them, it'll improve all our relationships. And I see there that it's amazing when I look at this passage, how it compares, just matches right up with the writings of Paul. Remember in Peter and Paul's time, they did not have Zoom. They did not have TikTok. They did not have FaceTime or anything to coordinate their, you know, their writings. They were writing to different groups of people, but they had the Holy Spirit to guide them. These are the things that are important. Look what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, the first 5 or 6 verses. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And then again, he points us to the example that we are to follow. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Man, it's interesting that every time that we need an example to follow, to do the thing that God wants to, he points us right to Christ. And then verse 6, it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being forced in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He wrote the Romans this in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. He says, if you want to be a blessing, if you want to be blessed, you know, inherit that blessing that God wants us to give us, he says, you need to have these qualities in your relationship with the people around you. Even the people that do you harm, even the people that cause you hurt. And he points us to the example of Jesus again. And it's interesting that when we look at these, you know, characteristics that he lists there, he says the first one is to be like-minded. It doesn't mean that we agree on everything. It doesn't mean that we like the same sports teams or we follow the same political parties or even like the same TV shows or have the same wisdom about certain subjects. But he says, when it comes to the church, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to your faith, he says, be like-minded. He says, follow the example of Christ. He says, not only be like-minded, but be sympathetic, not attacking, not going after people, not trying to make sure that they know how you feel and to try to get back. And he says, be sympathetic, try to understand where they're coming from, understand their situation. I've found many times when I've sat down with people that I didn't know, that I didn't know if we had the same type of understanding, that if we talk for just any length of time at all, I find something out about their past that makes me understand exactly why they are the way that they are. Something happened in their past, some things that they came through and how they navigate through that experience helped me understand a little bit more of why they respond to certain situations there, and makes me have a little bit more sympathy for them. And then he says to have that brotherly love, to show people. Jesus said, you'll know they'll know you're my disciples by your love. And then he follows it up with compassion. He said, we're not only supposed to be sympathetic, but we're supposed to do something about it. We're supposed to show them our sympathy and our love by the actions that we do. And then finally, he does that one that I say is the most important characteristic of all as a Christian, to be fully functional, to get to our ultimate, you know, goal of what God wants us to do, is humility. That we submit to him. That we submit to his son. That we follow the words that he puts down there. But those are our actions when we work with people in the church and people around us. But then he tells us, take all those things, put them into practice. How do we respond when people want to do us evil and they do it on purpose? Look at verse 9, and we'll read through verse 18. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. That sounds a lot like what we read in chapter 2. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. How we respond to evil has an impact on the blessing that we receive from God. He says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Why would anybody want to do harm to Christians? Why would anybody want to do harm to someone that's doing good to their community and people that are around them? Well, see, darkness hates light. Evil hates good. Chapter 5, we see what it says, your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's just part of the game. That's just part of signing up for the Boy Scouts, that there's going to be evil out there, people wanting to hurt you and do bad to you. But what's our first natural response? We want to lash out. That's one of my favorite movies are revenge movies, because, man, I want to be that guy. One of the best Westerns ever made, what? Outlaw Josie Wells. It's all just revenge, isn't it? It starts out with, you know, him and his wife and his child. He's plowing, you know, he's in the borderland of Missouri and Kansas, and the evil ones come in, they kill his wife, his family. So the rest of the movie, they're being pursued, and he finally gets that chance at the end of the movie. And you all know the scene. Click, 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 click. You know, that he's empty his barrels. That guy raises up his sword to kill, you know, outlaw Josie Wells, Clint Eastwood. And then he gets him to him, and then, you know, Clint grabs that sword and he stabs him himself. The guy falls to the ground, revenge complete, everything good. But then there's another part of the movie, isn't there? His commander shows up, and he knows who he is. They know each other. And Clint Eastwood finally figures out that revenge was not going to make him happy. He says, everybody's died a little bit in that war, realizing that revenge was not the way. Fast forward to the movie Gladiator. It's exactly the same movie, all right? They copied the outlaw Josie Wells, all right? His wife gets killed, his child gets killed, and then what do you do? He stabs Commodus at the very same movie. He gets that revenge that we want. It's the same thing that we all want to do. All three Rambo movies, revenge movies all through. Rambo 3 holds a special, you know, place in my heart, because why? After I asked my wife to marry her, I took her to Rambo 3. I tell you, romance is not dead. Romance is not dead. I know what you ladies are all thinking. She is really blessed. She is really blessed, since this sermon's about blessing. But no, we want to respond in kind. It's not a natural response to respond with blessing. Each day we see Christians that are killed for their faith all around this world, North Korea, China, any Muslim-led country that has the ruler, you know, over it, that has the power over it. But how do we respond in that? He tells us right here. He says, respond with blessing. We see the same thing Jesus told his disciples. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Peter goes a little bit farther here. He says in verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord and be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. How do we respond to evil with blessing? He says, number one, you've got to set Christ as the number one authority in your heart, and I'm going to listen to him and listen to him only. He says, do this keeping a clear conscience. How do we respond to those people that we see day after day, week after week, that we know that have caused this pain and they've done it on purpose and they don't care? Jesus tells us to pray for them, to bless them, to want good things to happen to them. He tells us to seek peace and pursue it. We see our own revenge story in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. Gets sold into slavery by his brothers, rises to a prominent place, stands up for his faith. The wife of one of the leaders tries to make him do something he don't want to do. He stands up, gets thrown into prison. While he's in prison, he interprets a dream of one of his fellow prisoners, tells the prisoner, remember me when you get out. He forgets about him. Spends a few more years in prison. Finally, he gets out. He gets back to his ascended position of power, and his brothers are right in front of him. Man, it's just like the movie we talk about. He has every, he has every possibility in front of him to do the revenge, take revenge on the person that he wants to take revenge on. He has a little fun with him, I think, with the goblet, and kind of doing that thing with him. But then he realizes that all the things that had happened had put him in this just right position for the moment just like this. See, he had sanctified God in his heart, and he was prepared when the opportunity came to show forgiveness and blessing to those that have done him harm. I talked with a lady after church today at Salem. She says, it's one thing to forgive, she said, and it's another thing to forget. That's called total forgiveness, is when we make that next step. Not only forgive them, but we ask God to bless them. And then Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 12. He says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful, do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Why do you think God says leave room for his wrath? Because we have a tendency as humans to go too far in our response, don't we? We say things that we don't mean because we hurt. And we hurt them and we can't take those words back. We do actions that we regret later. God says, let me take care of it. I'm perfect justice, perfect mercy, perfect grace. It may not happen the way you want. It may not be the classic scene from the outlaw Josie Wells. You may not be able to say the words you want to say at the right time. You want to say them to inflict the most pain. He says, let me take care of it. And he says, by doing that, you'll receive the blessing by being a blessing. Leave room for God's wrath because he knows what's appropriate. But how do we do this? How do we do such an unnatural thing? He tells us in verses 19 to 22. He says, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. That's Jesus. To those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. This is where we get that line in our Apostles' Creed about he descended into hell. You'll see that Peter uses the example of Noah throughout his letters. You'll see it in 2 Peter chapter 2. He talks extensively about that. But he uses it here about how do we respond? How do we have the power to do it? He says, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It's that internal change. How do we respond to evil? We have a clear conscience when we come to Christ in faith. It saves you. Baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. Remember, sanctify God. He's, his authority with the angels, authorities, and powers and submission to him. How do we respond to evil with blessing? It only happens supernaturally. And he uses the example of Noah and the ark. He says that water wiped out all the sin, all the evil in the world. They built the ark and they walked on the ark. Remember Noah now, they were the only ones that responded to the message for over 100 years. The ridicule, the injustice, the mockery, probably all the things that happened to them because they were the only ones standing up for their faith. But remember, they were the only ones that walked on the ark. Nobody carried anybody on the ark. You got on the ark because you chose to get on the ark. The way that you get the blessing of God to forgive, the power to respond to evil with blessing is you step into Christ through faith. And that baptism, it doesn't clean your body of the dirt, physical dirt. Just like the priests would go into the Holy of Holies, they would wash themselves and they would be ceremonially clean. He said, just like when they stepped on the ark, when you step into Christ at baptism, that water, that faith with the power of God through the resurrection of Christ is what gives you that conscience to decide between what is right and what is wrong, and to give you the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to forgive. God's power, the power of the resurrection, our faith, our pledge that when we signed up for the Boy Scouts, we're going to do all the things required, even when we face evil in front of us. See, people are watching. Each crisis is an opportunity to witness. And I feel like we've witnessed really well through all of this situation the last year. We've been faithful, we've been careful, but we continue to shine the light into the darkness. I went to three basketball games this week, and I watched another one on TV. California played Versailles on Friday night. I watched it through, you know, off and on. I'd gone to Otterville that night to watch the girls play because my next door neighbor's the coach of the Otterville girls. I watched the girls play, I think, on Monday night, and the boys play on Tuesday night. And I'm so thankful that I do not have my own kids out there anymore. It's such a pleasure. It's so less stress to watch somebody else's kids play. I'm not invested as much, but you know, the parents are watching, and man, when your kid does well, you're joyful. When the team does poorly, you hurt. When your kid doesn't do so well and makes a mistake, you get frustrated. And you know, we're watching how they do in all these different aspects of their abilities on the court or in the classroom. You know what God is watching with His children? How we respond to evil in our lives. Man, this is a daily challenge for me. But I don't think it's any coincidence that Peter uses Psalm 34, my favorite psalm. I've got a great sermon. I bring food when I do it. I love that psalm. But I've used this psalm a lot for a lot of funerals. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. I think it's verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. But it's verse 8 is my favorite verse. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. He says, for the Lord to do any good in your life, He's got to be internal. It does no good to hold that Mountain Dew or that, you know, chocolate donuts. You see where I'm going with this. You know what my favorite food group is? Our Lita's roast beef that we had on Wednesday night. It does me no good if it stays outside. I can keep it close. I can smell. I can hold it up. But until Christ comes into us eternally and we submit to His authority, we don't have the power to respond to evil with blessing. It's a hopeless exercise. When David wrote Psalm 34, he was on the run. Saul was chasing him, wanting to kill him. He runs to his enemy's land, Philistines. And he acts crazy and insane during that time. It's part of the psalm. He writes it right there, lets know. He wrote this psalm when he was on the run. He was one of the most stressful situations. And it's when God became the most real to him in that presence. Are you on the run today from something in your life? Is there stuff in your past that, boy, you need to get cleansed of? You need to get that pledge of a good conscience. Well, let's talk about baptism. Let's talk about making that decision for the Lord. But maybe you've held something in your heart, someone that you want evil to be done to, revenge, bitterness done to them. To be a blessing and to receive God's blessing, you've got to forgive them. We're going to talk more about that when we go into the Sermon on the Mount in February and March. The only way to do that is to receive God's power. And because of that power, you can be confident to inherit that blessing from Him. I'll be in the back if you have anything on your heart. I'm in my office. If you're online, we have our connection card at the MyUCC page. Fill that out, submit it. We can get together and we can talk. And the reason I picked the hymn that I did is that many times God talks to us softly and tenderly. It takes time for His message to come into our heart, to come into our minds, for us to mull it over, at least for me. And as we sing this song, if there's something on your heart that someone you need to forgive, pray for God's blessing upon them. It's a daily exercise. But when we do it, we become a blessing, and God will bless us.